What is the kingdom of God like? You would have a clear answer if you were a Jewish person of first century Palestine waiting for the Messiah to come. You know the Messiah will be the one anointed by God to overthrow the oppressive Roman rule through a decisive military revolt and then cleanse the temple from all impurity and evil doing. Afterwards, this Messiah will establish God's peace and justice to the Jewish people and their renewed nation. Simple enough. The standard's been set. Temple and battle. Either side of Jesus in Jewish history, you have dozens of would-be messiahs, all of whom were expected to win the battle and cleanse the temple, and all of whom failed and died terrible deaths. Jesus included, eventually, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. Jesus shows up talking about the kingdom of God to a bunch of people who know what it means to expect the kingdom of God. And he says, here's what it's like. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed someone sows in his field. No one plants mustard seeds in Palestine. It's an invasive and intractable weed. The kingdom of God is like planting bamboo in your vegetable garden. Planting bamboo anywhere. You don't plant it. You cut it and burn it and poison it and tie a chain around it and try to pull it out with your truck and curse the day it ever made it to American shore. Not only that, on top of that, to plant mustard in the field would be against Levitical law. You cannot mix plants in a field. It makes the whole thing impure. He goes on. The kingdom of God is like leaven that a baker woman secretly hides in flour. If you're looking for obvious signs of the kingdom, the sign of the Passover, God's saving action for Israel, would be the perfect place to start. But that's unleavened bread. Yeast ruins the metaphor entirely. And it's always broken by men, visibly so, not secretly hid. So let's try again. A man finds a treasure in a field, someone else's field. What's he doing digging around in someone else's field? Where's the owner? What did he find? Why didn't he just take it and put it in his own field if he wasn't watching? Okay, no. It's like a merchant running a pearl business that finds one perfect pearl. And he liquidates his pearl warehouse. Everything must go, sells his house and everything he owns just to have this one pearl. No more livelihood, no retirement, no business to hand on to his children. But he has his precious pearl. This is not what I think of when I think of kingdoms. The images are all wrong. Kingdoms mean robes and scepters, mighty cedar trees, gilded thrones and purple silk, a blazing light we cheer as it marches into town, not some small hidden perfection to order your quiet life around. What is the kingdom of God like? According to today's gospel, it's all far more wholehearted than we want it to be. There's a forsaking of any other possession or pursuit. The kingdom is full of unsavory outsiders and weeds. It's small in ways that make us smaller. It's sharp in ways that puncture overblown egos. It's hidden in ways that elude our common sense. It's subversive in ways that undermine our confident understanding of the world. What is the kingdom of God like? Sometimes you can catch a glimpse of it. I have a friend who retired from medicine. Like a good and faithful Christian, he volunteered at the food pantry once a week, and watched food prices rise, and the kitchens and shelters only able to afford so much. Like a good and faithful Christian, he went to a Lenten quiet day for a morning, listening for God. It was there he saw it, the kingdom, the field with the treasure. It flashes brightly only for a moment and never demands your allegiance. My friend transformed into those rare and unsettling sorts of kingdom Christians. He bought the field. He opened a food bank, the sort of place that buys up food at cost through the donations of many and sells it cheaply to the local kitchens and shelters. The more successful his business is, the more money he loses. He works secretly. No photo ops, no interactions with the hungry folks he's helping to feed. He's like a woman secretly working a little leaven into the flour so that all might be fed. The bright field with the flash of treasure, the pearl worth everything we own. R.S. Thomas says these are things we pass by, hurrying on to some receding future or hankering for some imagined past. The parables are a bit like my first visit to the eye doctor as a child. I was nearsighted, but it felt normal to me. When I walked out of there with my first pair of glasses, the whole world had changed. Every blade of grass defined, each leaf and every tree called for contemplation, the wheat stalks illuminated in the field like a treasure to behold. Our faith is a blur of and jumble of images. I don't know what yours are exactly. Some of empire and kingdoms, a few frames of family and social expectation, a montage of your own experience. The parables are a series of lenses meant to unsettle you from what you thought you knew. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like a massive net that drags along the bottom of the sea, a great movement that catches up everyone, good and bad, pure and impure. All of us tossed onto the boat together, not one of us prepared to breathe in the air of the kingdom with gills unaccustomed to it, and nothing to hold on to except that old promise of new creation.